So we're looking at a sugya here on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph in the first parak of Zvachim, and the Gemara says the following. Now, count down from the... Okay, I don't know if you can... It's almost in the middle of the Daf, so let's take a look at... you see Tosus Dira Maskel V'yeshnon Li'achar Misa, which is the... I think it's the next to last Tosfos on the Omud. You see that? I'm just using that as an arrow. Daf Dalet Amud Aleph.
Is that 12 or 12, 15? 12.
12. Okay, so we're looking again, Don, if you could open up to Zvachim, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph.
Okay,
you'll get it? Dalet Amud Aleph?
I need another
spot. Oh, you have it. So if you take a straight line, like you take a beeline across from V'yeshnan, you see Tosus on the left side of your page says V'yeshnan. If you go straight across there, you'll see a line that starts with Zar.
Mm-hmm.
So the third word in the line is where we're starting to get today. Okay then?
Hello.
Now let me just give you a background. What we started here on the top of Daf Dalet, and you'll see it in the first few words. Again, that's not what we're studying today, but just to get a feel. Minolan de be'inon zvicha lishma. The Gemara is looking for a source for the requirement of zvicha lishma, because the Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim establishes that if the karban was shechted shalo lishma, it's a very big problem. In certain cases, it's going to passel the karban. In all cases, it somewhat passels the karban. You're going to have to replace the karban. So what's the source for Zvicha Lishma? The Gemara quotes various psukim. And those psukim establish a machshavas shalo lishma haposelos in two avodos. Actually, ultimately in three avodos. Namely, in shchita, in kabol sadam, and in zrika sadam. If any of those three avodos were performed shalo lishma, that is a very big problem. And the Gemara has various limudim, some of which touch on what we call a pircha, that maybe you can't derive it from shchita shalo lishma because there's a pircha against shchita. Shchita is ksheira bizarre, maybe be'isha, depending on what girsa you have. And then zrika, there's a pasuk that says in the parish of Shlomim that the zrika has to be done lishma, etc., etc. But there's one avoda that we haven't focused on. Which one is that?
Holach.
And the Gemara says, Ashkechan kulhu, you've successfully brought three sources, respectfully, for the three avodos, but you left out one. And that is holacha. Holacha minola. Now, Rabosai, there's a lot of information and many sugyas that we'd have to study in terms of holacha. What is halacha, and how to do halacha, and do you always have to have halacha, and b'chlal with halacha is an avoda. But let's just leave that out for now, because those sugyas don't appear here at the beginning of Zvach. We're focusing now at 11:45 or 12 noon, whenever we get together, on the first parak of Zvachim, and specifically the beginning of Zvachim. Again, there's no way you can learn any daf in Zvachim without seeing many, many sugyas. It just doesn't exist. But at least our initial keresh kfitzah, so to speak, our takeoff point, is going to be the beginning of Masechet Zvachim. So right now we're assuming that there's some sort of strange avoda called holochas hadam. And the question is, if the Kohen had the right machshavos in shchita, kabbalah, and zrika, but then when he did the holacha, he had the wrong machshava. No, I'm just saying, if he had the right machshavos, but when it came to holacha, he had the wrong machshava, what's the deal? So the Gemara says the following. Ashkechan kulu holacha minolan. And the Gemara says the following. The chi tema, and if you, I think you feel I may have made a mistake when I was looking at the wrong arrow here, so I apologize for that. But anyway, I meant to put the second arrow here. Anyway, so the Gemara says, holacha, holacha minol. So the Gemara says the following. The chi tema nelef mizvicha. Why not use Shechita as a binyan av? Since in Shechita we had a pasuk that said l'shem shlomim, that you have to have a kavodas lishma to time of zvicha. Let's derive halacha from zvicha. Mal zvicha shekein posel shelo l'shem ochlim b'pesach. This is very paradoxical, because Shechita would seem to be the lowest level, so to speak, the most lenient of all the avodas. How do I prove that?
That zvicha.
How do I know that Shechita of all the Avodas is the lowest level, so to speak, most lenient? Yeah, you don't even need a Kohen for that. But you get away without a Kohen. But nevertheless, paradoxically, in one particular context, and that's enough for a Pircha, in the world of Kodshim, Zvicha as a Chumrah that doesn't exist in any of the other Avodas. And that's in the case of Korban Pesach. Because the essence of Korban Pesach is not for Kapora, not for, Azoa, Srikas Adam, but for the Achilas HaKorban, the Achilas HaBosav Alayla. And specifically, which one of the Avodos can be singled out to set up Shechita? I'm sorry, I gave the answer. I meant to say to set up the Pesach as a Pesach L'Shem Ochlov, that's going to be Shechita. And therefore, for example, the Gemara establishes and says the Pesachim that if during the Zrikas Adam he has a Machshav Shalol L'Shem Ochlov, the Korban might be kosher. Again, it's a big machlokas, but that's one opinion. But everybody agrees that if at the time of the Shechita he had in mind Shalol L'Shem Ochlov, then the carbon is possible. And that singles out Shechita on a very unique level. For the rest of the Avodos, I don't care whether he's thinking L'Shem Ochlov or Shalol L'Shem Ochlov, but in Shechita, it's an absolute critical requirement that the Shechita has to be done with the Machshav L'Shem Ochlov. That makes Shechita different than all the other Avodos L'Chumra. And if therefore the Torah puts Shechita on such a high level L'Chumra, then maybe the Shalol Lishma problem is also unique to Shechita, and you have no right to derive halacha from Shechita. So the Gemara's answer is Nemra Zvicha B'Shinui Kodesh. Right? If he shechts a Korban Shlomim, for example, with a Shinui Kodesh, meaning Shalol Lishem Shlomim, and the Torah says in such a case that passes the Korban, V'Nemra Zvicha B'Shinui Bailim, Okay, that's the beginning of this sugya. So we're going to talk about Shini Bailim and the equation and the analogy between Shini Kodesh and Shini Bailim. That is halach of Shini Bailim that passes the korban, and that applies to all four avodos, and therefore Shini Kodesh, likewise, since there's an analogy between Shini Bailim and Shini Kodesh, should apply to all four avodos. Okay. Now, just give me a second. Sorry about both sides. Yeah, I'm looking through the sugya here very quickly because I'm trying to see if we can. If we can cut to the chase here for our purposes today, because this sugya goes on and on, but I just want to focus on one element of the sugya here. Just one second. Where does the Gemara mention halacha here again? Just one second. Okay, I think I have it. Good. So let me read this again. Ashkechan b'kulu holacha minayim v'chitem olelif mikulu malakul sheken avoda. She'i efsho levatlo. You have such a line?
Mm-hmm.
I think I skipped it for some reason. I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page, because I myself got a little confused here, but I skipped a few lines.
We're still on Dalet.
Yeah, we're on Dalet Amud Aleph. Again, start with the Tosfos V'yeshnan.
Yeah.
But just, I skipped a few lines here, unfortunately.
So we're going up and down.
Okay. So we're going to go down, starting from again. V'chitem Nelef Mikulu.
Hashkakan Kulu.
Right, we started with Ashkachan Kulu, right, and now we went to V'chite Menelef Lelef Mikulu, which means that the Gemara is saying, if you'll argue that we could derive Holacha from the other Avodos, so at this point I made a mistake, and I apologize, I skipped a few lines here, and I jumped over to the sugi about Shinu Bailim, but I missed an important line here. The Gemara says the following: Malakulu, if you're going to set up a binyan av in the requirement of lishma from all the other avodos, the three avodos that we've already established based on yalfusos that you need lishma, and now you're going to equate holacha to the other three avodos, so Gemara says Malakulu shekein avoda shei efshar levatla. Yeah, is that what you have?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So Malakulu Shekena Vodoshi Efshar Levatla. What does that mean, the Efshar Levatla? Anybody?
You can avoid it.
Efshar Levatla.
Impossible.
Excellent. Impossible to avoid it. Impossible to avoid it.
Which is not true by
halacha. Oh,
no,
but halacha.
The others are impossible. So
the halacha is efshar levatla. What do you mean efshar levatla? Is it mean in every situation you could avoid halacha?
You just need one.
Oh, but theoretically, it's efshar levatla. In other words, I can find a scenario in which you can completely circumvent halacha sadam. And what does that mean? Where did he do the shechita? Al Yadam is Be'ah, but Sadam is Be'ah. So if he did the Shechit al Sadam is Be'ah, then he just simply receives the Dam in a Kli Shoreis and he immediately does the Zrika. He doesn't have to move towards the Mizbe'ah. So that's not true with regard to any of the other Avodas. So in a sense, if the Torah is raising the bar and requiring Lishma, maybe the Torah only does so in the case of those Avodas who are absolutely indispensable and unavoidable, they're critical, you can't do without them. But Holacha now becomes the lowest level of the four, because you can avoid them. You can avoid the Holacha, at least in one theoretical case, if he was Shochet Al Yad B'tzadam Izbeh. Then that forces the Gemara to come up with the following pasuk. Ela Amakra. So we're talking now about the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, which is the parasha of which carbon? Ola. Right? Carbon Ola is the first carbon that's mentioned in the Torah. And with regard to the Evarim, the limbs of the carbon Ola, which have to be brought where? On his back, because Ola is Kulay Kolil. The Torah says, Vehikriv. I'm going to add a few words here. V'kriv ha-kohen es ha-kol v'ktir ha-mizbecha. Now it's very interesting. It says v'ktir ha-mizbecha. Which avoda would that be? Haktorah, right? That's already zrika haktorah. But then it says v'hikriv. V'hikriv means he brings it closer. Omar mar. The Gemara says that, how do we interpret Vehikriv? Zo, this akrava, is holachas evarim lakevesh. Now wait a minute. I'm going to make believe here that there's a different text. This is purely for pedagogical reasons. There's no other text. But just to confuse us, I'm going to read it like this. Hakrava zu Holochas Evarim la Mizbeach. doesn't say that. Now what's the difference between the two? What's the difference between reading it as Zo holochas evarim la kevesh or holochas evarim la mizbeach? We're talking about makshev shelo lishma. Well, again, just give me the scenario again, and then you'll tell me the lumdus. You already give me the lumdus. In what scenario would there be difference between the text that I invented and the text of the Gemara?
Because you did it right next to the
whether you had Lishma Machshava on the Kevesh itself.
Exactly. What happens if he's taking the Evarim of the Ola up the Kevesh? He hasn't yet gotten to the Mizbeach, and he has a Machshava of Shelo Lishma. So if my text would have been the correct text, again in theory, then I would say holacha, right? Where is it? My finger lost the place. Holacha sevarim la mizbeach.
You need the shema on the kevesh.
So then you need the shema on the kevesh. You with me? Right. Because the process of holacha would be to take, when he does the shechita as he's standing in the azara, let's say, and now after he's makabel the dam, he's molech the dam to his back. But what's the first place that facilitates the gisha, the access to his back? It's the kevesh. So then the Gemara should have said holacha seivarim la mizbeach. Why? Because the lochas haivarm lamizbeach means that from the place that he's standing in the azara, he goes up the kevesh and he finally arrives at the mizbeach. That would have been gishmak, but that's not what it says over here. What it says is lochas haivarm la kevesh. Why did the Gemara have to say la kevesh? So I was thinking maybe the Gemara wants to say that even the first part of the locha, even before he gets close to the Mizbeach, that's also a Machsheves Shelo Lishma. But it was upgraded, it was understood, and the Gemara didn't even feel a necessity to emphasize this, that on the Kevesh itself, that's certainly a Locha. But I won't even tell you when he's at a distance, he hasn't even gotten to the Kevesh yet, that's also called a Locha. But the logic is actually the opposite. Because there's a svara to say that maybe holochas adam ala kevesh would not qualify as holocha because that's already the mizbeach. Right? Once he gets to the mizbeach, that's no longer called holocha. And the question is, does the mizbeach include, as Alan was saying before, even the what? Even the kevesh. And as if I want to draw a circle around the diagram of the azara, and my circle now wants to single out the mizbeach, where does my circle end? Does my circle end at the point of the Mizbeach itself? Or would it include a wider area, namely the Kevesh itself? And for this we have to see a Sugya Menachos. Because believe it or not, Rabbi Yochanan is going to tell us that there's such a thing as Haktara Al Gabi HaKevesh, which would therefore elevate the Kevesh to the status of what?
Mizbeach.
Of Mizbeach, and therefore it would terminate the process of Halacha once he arrives, you know, after the Kabbalah Saddam on the Azor, once he arrives at the Kevesh, when he gets to the foot of the Kevesh, that's a place where he could do Akhtara. Like you may remember the sugya of Shlomo Melch, that Shlomo Melch at the time of the Chanukas HaMizbeach, the Chanukas HaMigdosh, which is in Melachim Perkhes, it says there that he, according to Chazal, or at least one opinion of Chazal, he had such a myriad of karbanos, literally hundreds of thousands of karbanos that he brought for the Chanukas of Mizbeach, that he couldn't find enough room on the Mizbeach itself to do the Akhtara. So what did he do? Right, he was makdish the whole floor of the Azara. So they were doing Akhtara all over the floor of the Azara. Again, I wouldn't want to get the janitorial job of cleaning up the Azara, but it must have been a royal mess. And now we're talking about doing Akhtar in the Kevesh. So if you would have raised your hand, because I don't know what beans about coach, you would say to me, well, we can do Akhtar in the Kevesh, I would have told you, you're nuts. That's crazy. The Kevesh is only there to facilitate the ability of the coin to climb up onto his bear. But that's not, you know, Kevesh doesn't have a status of his bear. But then, you know, the big Talmidei Chachamim will raise their hand and say, Rebbe, you don't know Sugi and Menachos. And the Sugi and Menachos quotes Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can do Akhtar on the Kevesh. Now, the reason why I'm excited about Rabbi Yochanan is because if indeed the premise of Rabbi Yochanan is correct that you could do Akhtar al Gavi Akevesh, then call in the janitors afterwards, right? But if that be the case, then the Kevesh has the status of Mizbech, or at least, shall we say, some sort of quasi-Mizbech, meaning that there's an auxiliary or some sort of extension to the Mizbech that includes the Kevesh as well. Now, let's say, for example, there's certain avodas that you do on the Gag HaMizbech, right? Like, let's say, Matan Domim on the Kronos. So what happens when the Kohen is taking the Dam from one Karen to the other Karen? Let's say he's going a diagonal across the top of the Mizbech. Would that be called Halacha?
No.
No, that's not called Halacha. Halacha means bringing the Dam to the Mizbech, or bringing the Evarim and the Emurim to the Mizbech. But on the Mizbech itself, there's no status of Halacha. Again, all those actions that he has to do are technical and mechanical, but I wouldn't give it the status of Halacha. That's part of what we call the halas hakarbon, meaning to make sure that you're makter the carbon on the ash. So you may have to take the avarim from one side of the mizbeach to the other. Right? There are a bunch of ishim on the mizbeach, different marachos. So the kohen might have to take it from one side of the mizbeach to the other. That's not called halacha. That's part of the halah. You're already post halacha. And if you were to tell me that the mizbeach includes the kevesh as well, then once again, how would I define the halach al gavi kevesh? That would be like halach al gavi mizbeach, which would be halachas haivorim, not halachas haivorim. Halachas haivorim means before you get to the mizbeach. So again, we have to analyze the status of the kevesh. Is the status of a kevesh that of the extension of the mizbeach, and therefore his halacha would terminate when he gets to the foot of the kevesh? But once he's on top of the kevesh, he's already on the mizbeach territory. That's no longer called halacha. That's called halacha. But if on the other hand I insist against Rabbi Yochanan that the mizbeach is royal akhtara, but the kevesh is excluded from akhtara, which we'll see is one day in the Gemara Menachos against Rabbi Yochanan, then the kevesh itself is not part of the mizbeach in any shape or form. It's only necessary to be molich the evarim to the mizbeach, or the dam to the mizbeach, whatever it might be, and therefore the kevesh itself has the status of halacha because the kevesh is not part of the mizbeach. Because what difference to make when he's molech from the, you know, from where his feet are standing at the time of the shechita to the kevesh, to the foot of the ramp, or whether he goes up the ramp? It's all part of one halacha until he gets to the mizbeach itself. But the Gemara itself says what? Let's read the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Omar Mar Zu Halacha Seivarim La Kevesh." What does La Kevesh mean?
To
the kevesh, but not on the kevesh, to the mizbeach. So in that section, which is between the beginning of the halacha and the end of the mizbeach, and the arrival on the mizbeach for the akhtara, we have the kevesh in the middle. And from the very fact that the Gemara says that the halacha is defined as taking the dam or the evarim up to the kevesh, but not on the kevesh, that would indicate that the kevesh itself is part of the mizbeach. Any questions before I show you Rabbi Yochanan inside, so you don't think I invented this crazy idea that there's Haktar on the kevesh?
Can I ask one question on that?
Yeah.
But is there a possibility of defining two sections of the kevesh, that up to the soleil is kevesh, and from there on is part of the mizbeach?
Well, you want to know about that one amma of the.
There was a secondary road.
Right,
a balcony that went around.
I don't know. I have to see the sugi inside, but. So again, Rabosa, here's that question: is there any way, shape, or form that we can classify the kevesh as mizbeach, which would mean that the halacha, the avodah of halacha, terminates when he reaches the kevesh? And for that, I have a sugya in the Sefer Menachos. Okay, then.
Is the kranot and mizbeach defining the perimeter of the mizbeach?
Well, they each were on the edge of the mizbeach, so there were four edges. The mizbeach, was meruba; it was absolute square.
But that would determine the perimeter, and not the definition of the mizbeach, where the
right
organs can be.
But our definition of mizbeach is anywhere where you're doing hakatara. Why? Because we want to know whether you're involved. Okay, I don't know.
The prior, I used to have a thing. The fire, right? The fire where
Does this work on the blackboard? On the whiteboard?
No.
This would be the. Alright. Hey, forget it, Don. Anyway, what I'm going to ask you to do, if you don't mind, take out a pen. This doesn't work. Okay. It probably could work if we soaked it in water. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you have to get red wood. So if you could just write the following two words on the blackboard, because the whole shiur today revolves around these two words. Halacha / meaning versus ha'alah. Hey, ayin, lamed, aleph, hey. Ha'alah means to take the limbs and put it on the ash. Halacha means to bring the limbs, again in the case of Evarim, you can talk about the dam as well, to the point in which I can achieve ha'alah. The kevesh here seems to sort of fall in between the cracks. It's hard to define whether halacha has ended when he reaches the foot of the kevesh, or whether halacha continues until he gets to the mizbeach itself. And the answer to that question is the following. Do we consider the kevesh a place that's royal akhtara, or is it not royal akhtara? Which I want to take a look in the sugya menachos, because I think that's the main point of the sugya menachos. If the kevesh is royal akhtara, then basically what he's doing here on the kevesh is he's preparing the akhtara. Preparing the akhtara is called ha'alah. If on the other hand the kevesh is outside of the mizbeach, there's no such thing as haktara on the kevesh, then the kevesh is just a holacha in which he's bringing the dam or the yevarim to the mizbeach. And the nafkamina is going to be what happens if he has a machshava shelo lishma at the time of the holacha on the kevesh. And strangely enough, if you look at the Gemara meticulously, the Gemara defines holacha in very clear terms, and it says that holacha is evarim la kevesh. Now I looked in the notes here and I didn't find any comment here. Let me just look again. No, I don't have anything in the notes here. Take a look in your notes, maybe you'll come up with something. But in the meantime, I want to show you a graisa in Masechta Menachos. This is on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, and you want to look at Tan Rabban. So it's approximately,
I'm sorry, where are we again?
We're on Menachos Nun Zayin Amid Beis. I'll give you the Gemara in just a minute. Okay. Tan Rabban, it's about maybe 15 lines up from the top, from the bottom of the page. Minayin lemale mibesar chatos umibesar osham umibesar kochi kochim umikochim kalim mimosar haomer mimosar shteh lechem milechem aponim mishiori abnochos shehu belotase. We're talking about a lav, and again this lav is by far not explicit in the Torah. The Gemara is going to have an amazing far out drasha to establish this lav. But this lav is going to enjoin us from bringing onto the mizbeach anything that should be eaten, right? I don't mean eaten for the mizbeach, right? No, we're not talking about basar here. I'm sorry, we're not talking about imurim here. We're talking about basar, right? We can take the carbon and divide it into two parts. We'll call it basar and imurim. Basar is something that the human beings have to eat in this particular context, and human beings means either what? Kohanim or Yisrael, as opposed to Emurim. Emurim is Achilas Mizbeh. So now you have a part of the carbon that's designated not for Achilas Mizbeh but for Achilas Adam, and he went ahead and he was Maktir that. So for example, Menachos, we have something called Shiari Menachos. Shiari Menachos are eaten by Zichrei Kohuna. In Kachi Kachim, we're going to have the basar that's left for the Kohen, for Zichrei Kohuna. In Kachim Kalim, we'll have parts of the carbon that's left for even the Bailim, even the Yisrael to eat, etc., etc. In any of those cases, again, the only case that we don't have is Ola, because Ola has no basar at all, but in every other carbon except for Ola, basically, you have some sort of Shirayim that's left for that's left for Achilas Adam, and he went and he was machtir it. So the Bryce wants to know, where is the source for such a lot? There was never a question that there is such a lot. But where do you find it? And the Gemara finds it in the strangest of all places. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Ki kol si'ar v'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu ishe l'ashem. Okay, now this Pasuk is very innocuous. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with our discussion. We're talking about the fact that Torah enjoins us from putting si'ar or dvash and burning it on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says that although the simple pshat in the pasuk pshuta shel mikra is something that's chametz or something that's dvash, however, there is a superfluous phrase in the pasuk. And when there's a superfluous phrase in the pasuk, it allows us to write the pasuk in two different ways. You know, as we can rewrite this lav and come up with a whole new interpretation of the pasuk. So what is superfluous here in this pasuk? It's the word mimenu. And if you drop the word mimenu and you have lo saktiru ishe lashem, you get the same results. Nothing is absent, nothing is missing by dropping the word mimenu. And that teaches us, says the Braisa, to read the pasuk, the lav, in a whole different way. And mimenu means kol shu mimenu le'ishim. So the word mimenu now refers to that part of the karban which is meant to be eaten, literally eaten, by a human being. And what he does is mimenu le'ishim. So the lo here, the lo sasev, lo saktiru, is not just lo saktiru on siyar v'dvash, but it's also lo saktiru mimenu ishe l'ashem. Don't take the mimenu part. Mimenu means the part that belongs to you, that's meant to be, it's designated for achilus adam, and be maktir ishe l'ashem. So we now have two lavim in one pasuk. I guess you call it two for the price of one. And you have the following. You read it, Ki kol si'ar v'chol dvash lo saktiru ishe l'ashem. And then you read it the following, lo saktiru mimenu ishe l'ashem. Forget about the sar and the dvash. And the lo saktiru mimenu is a reference to any part of the karban which is meant to be eaten. And that part, if you convert it into a haktara ishe l'ashem, you burn it on the mizbech, you violate this lav of bal taktiru. Okay. Now we have Itmar. Itmar is about 7 lines up from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 lines up from the bottom. Okay, we're on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Itmar. Hamale mikulon al gabi hakevesh. So again, if you take any of these parts of the karbanos, all the karbanos with the exception of Ola, and you're makter on the mizbeach, these are parts that are meant to be eaten, you violate the law of bal taktiru. What if you took those same parts and you were makter it where?
Okay.
On the kevesh. You know, so when you first see this kibar, you're sort of like taken aback. I mean, the Torah says Ishe Lashem, Ishe Lashem is on the mizbeach. Vosep is kevesh. And it gets even more shocking because the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav. What does the word Chayav mean? How many times?
39.
39. Right? So he had 39 lashes. Why? Because he's mocked as something that should have been eaten on the Mizbeach. What do you mean on the Mizbeach? He's not on the Mizbeach. He's on the Kevesh. And he's burning it on the Mizbeach, on the Kevesh. And Rabbi Yochanan says he gets malchus for that. He violates the law of bal taktiru. Thank God. The good news is Rabbi Lazar Amar Potter. The Gemara explains Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav based on a brisa. The brisa says that there's an extra hay in this pasuk. Well, actually, it's the next pasuk. We should open up a chumash here. We're in Vayikra Perek Beis. if somebody doesn't mind opening up to Vayikra Perek Beis here. So the pasuk that we read until now was pasuk Yud Aleph until now in the Brisa, because the Brisa quoted the pasuk Ki Chos Sa'ar V'chol Vash L'Saktiru Mimenu Ishe L'Hashem. Do you have that in the Chumash? Can Donald answer it once? Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, and now if somebody could read Pasuk Yud Beis to me, the next Pasuk.
Korban Reishis.
Drop loud, I'm sorry.
Korban Reishis.
Ham is Bear, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, so now it says Ham is Bear. And the Brisa, which Rabbi Yochanan is standing on the shoulders of this Brisa, the Brisa is going to see worlds of Chidushim in that extra hay, Hamizbeach. Ainli Elamizbeach. Kevesh Minayim, Talmud Lomar Hamizbeach. The Elamizbeach Lo Yalu. Right? The El Hamizbeach Lo Yalu, etc. L'Reach Nichoach. And this pasuk is written right after the previous pasuk of Lo Saktiru. And we just interpreted based on the previous brisa that Lo Saktiru refers to taking the nechal part of the karbon and being maktered on the mizbeach. But now the next pasuk says Hamizbeach. And the brisa darshins from the hay of Hamizbeach that even the kevesh is included in Lo Saktiru.
How do you know it's the hay that's leaving, not the whole word Hamizbeach? Because we already know that.
I thought the hay meant that it was the.
Yeah, I'm just reading the Brisa. Tell me if I'm. I'm sorry, maybe I'm misreading the Brisa.
No, I don't.
Ainli El Mizbeach. Ainli El Mizbeach. Kevesh Minayin Tamalomar V'El Hamizbeach. So I thought he was dashing the extra hay. Let's see if he has any footnote here.
That means the outer altar.
Is it Tavolom or Hamizbeach? I didn't say this. It's not the El Hamizbeach.
Well, I'll read to you what he says. Again, this is Rabosai. This is Beiravon Mugbal. It's not Torah's Lakshin. But he says following. He says the extraneous letter He in the word Hamizbeach adds the ramp, which I think is the English translation of the Kevesh,
yeah,
to this prohibition. Okay, I don't know if we have to get into this now. Is this crucial?
No, I'm just saying, simple learns differently. He doesn't
know. All right, so I don't know. I don't know. Again, I don't want to get distracted here because we're seeing here a major breakthrough. And then the Gemara right away asks, Rabbi Lozor, Omar Potu, my Taimo, the Omar Krosiar, Udvash, Karban Rashis, Takrivu, Osam, Osam, Hudarabi Lacha, but Kevesh is excluded. So he has an extra word, osam, and that comes to exclude the kevesh. It does include the kevesh. See, it's interesting because even Rabbi Eliezer says that you violate the lav of lo saktiru on the kevesh, but he's only willing to accept that in two cases. Right, in Siyar and Dvash. But even there, he seems to include the Kevesh. So it's a little bit trickier because he's not, he has a mute, but the mute is telling me that you are in violation on the Kevesh.
For those two. Right.
And how does he know it's only those two? Because of this mute of Osam. And Rashi has a whole discussion here about Bikurim and Shteil Lechem. That in the case of Bikurim and Shteil Lechem, he'll be Chayav Haktara on the Kevesh, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. So again, Rabbi said, we'll have to come back to this again, but let's just put this to rest for a minute. What we have is Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan definitely recognizes the Kevesh as Haktara, and therefore he says that when the Torah prohibits you from Haktaras Ha'ochel, you know what I mean? Meaning the nechal part of the korban on the mizbeach, it includes even the kevesh. Okay. So what I'd like you to do now is to take out the nefesh tova, and you'll tell me what page it's on. It's os mem zayin.
Daf mem vav.
Mem vav, excellent. So you're turning to page Mem Vav.
In the Nefesh
Tov, I meant to say. And again, it's Chelek Aleph because we're on Daf Dalet.
Os what?
Page Mem Vav, Os Mem Zayin.
Mem.
So I'm just going to summarize the first three paragraphs, and then we're going to read the fourth paragraph, but we met her line by line, because that's where he drops the bomb. In the first paragraph, he says that if you read the Gemara here on Daf Dalet carefully, and you see it says, Halacha Seivarim Lakevesh, Lakevesh, he says it doesn't say Halacha Seivarim Lamizbech, which means on the Kevesh.
It's a different line.
And that's a Pele, because the Halachas Adam or Halachas Seivarim on the Kevesh should also be considered Halacha. Then he says, I have another Gemara. You know, you might say it's a misprint or something, you know. But I have another Gemara where again it says the same language of Halachas Ha'evarim Lakevesh. And that's a Gemara Menachas on Daf Yud. So we should really take out a Gemara Menachas Daf Yud. That's a different volume here. And the Gemara is talking about a possibility of doing an avodah bismol, because all the avodas are done b'yamin, and the Gemara says kol makom shenemra etzba v'kuhuna eina el yamin. So the Gemara asks, what about halacha? Let's say he's in the case of an ola, for example. So he's being molech the evarim onto the mizbeach, and the Torah there says kuhuna. And yet it seems to be that you can do the halacha even b'smol. So the Gemara answers, Ki amrina b'dobra ma'akev kapara. Rashi says, La'fuki halacha d'lo ma'akva, d'yefshal lifshal d'natech etzel ha'kevesh. So in other words, halacha is a little bit different. Again, we're not talking about halacha's dam here. In this Gemara, we're talking about halacha's ha'evarim. So first, in the case of an ola, he has to do what's called hafshata and nituach, and then he takes the evarim after he does that, and he takes them up to the mizbeach haketorah.
On the right side of the kerev.
Correct, but he can use his left hand. So the Gemara asks, we have a rule that whenever it says kahuna, kahuna means with the right hand. Right. So the Gemara says, let's qualify. It's true that as a general rule, when it says kahuna, it means the right hand. But the exception to this is a case of lo ma'akva b'dover shel lo ma'akva kapara. So when you have a critical avodah, then kahuna means the right hand of the kohen. But if you have something which is not necessarily ma'akev, so let's say he does the hefshet nituach of this ola right next to the mizbeach, he doesn't need holocha, so that's called holocha de'eno ma'akva, and in such a case he can use his left instead of his right. But take a look at the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Halachas Evarim Lakevesh. Again, the same exact word that we have here in Zvokim Daf Dalid, in the Sugya Machsheva Shalom Lishma, of Halachas Evarim Lakevesh, it's not a printing mistake. It's not a typo here, because in Menachas also it says, Halachas Evarim Lakevesh. Not only that, if you take a look at Rashi in Menachos, he says, the efshar lifshot ulanatech etzel. Okay, I'm going to rewrite it for a second, just for pedagogical purposes. It's on his back. But Rashi doesn't say it's on his back. Rashi's very medayek in his lashon. He says, etzel akevesh. So he's talking about cutting it down, you know, avoiding a need for halacha. And he says, you can avoid the need of halacha if you do the hefshet and the tuach eitzel akevesh is mavur midvarav. You see clearly from Rashi that if he would be mafshid next to the kevesh, it's no longer olacha. Why isn't that called olacha? He's got to get the evarim up on the mizbeach. What does Rashi gain by the fact that he gets the evarim up on top of the kevesh? Why does Rashi insist that at that point his olacha is let's say, is terminated or unnecessary, it's unnecessary, he still needs halach al gabi hakevesh. Even if he does the nituach and the hefshet next to the kevesh, but it seems from Rashi that Rashi was medayik in the lashon of the shas that taking it up to the kevesh, but not on the kevesh, that is called halach. And in the next paragraph, he says the following: that it would seem from this diuk and from Rashi and Menachos that just like in the case where he does halacha al gabi mizbeach, al mizbeach atzmo, so he goes from one side of the mizbeach to the other side of the mizbeach because he's taking the varim to the maracha. That's not called halacha, which means that if, let's say, at the moment that the Kohen is moving the Evarim from one side of the Mizbeach over to the Marocha, he has a Machshava Shalom L'shma, that would not passel the Karbon. That's not called Halacha, that's just a technical, mechanical act. And the reason for that, he says, is because that's not called Halacha, that's called what? Again, I didn't have a way of writing it. It's Ha'ala. Ha'ala means he's not bringing the Karbon to the Mizbeach, he is burning that part of the carbon that has to be burnt on the Mizbeach. The Haktar itself is called Ha'Allah, meaning taking the carbon and putting it onto the fire. That's called Ha'Allah, that's not Halacha. And that process of Ha'Allah includes anything that he's doing on the Mizbeach to locate the carbon on the Eish. So therefore, when you take the Evarim from one side of the Mizbeach to the other side of the Mizbeach in order to get them onto the Eish, that's not called Halacha, that's called Ha'Allah. That's part of the Haktorah itself. Now what we're saying is, and this is the paradox, that when he takes the Dam or the Evarim up the Kevesh, that's called Ha'Allah. Why? The Kevesh Chashiv Kimizbeach. Those are the key words. If you want to underline, if you have your own personal copy, you want to underline those three words. I can't tell you where to find them, but it's about five lines down in the paragraph L'chora. And he says, Kevan, if you can underline these words, Kevan de Chashiv, or go back one word, HaKevesh, Kevan de Chashiv Kimizbeach, is therefore, he's already, once he's on the Kevesh, in the process of Ha'Allah, rather than Halacha. But he says this is a Pella, this is counterintuitive against everything we know. There's no such din as there's no way that you can classify or define the Kevesh as the Mizbeach. Oh. However, there's a Mishnah on Daf Pei Vav. Rashima wants to take a stab at this. You know, he's not ready for Rabbi Yochanan in Menachos, not yet at least. But he's ready for a Mishnah. Now, Pei Vav Amud Aleph is, let's see if I have it here. Pei Vav Amud Aleph, I believe, is in a parak called Kodshei Kodshim. Is that possible?
Just one second, sorry. I have a technical problem here. Okay.
We're doing a Mishnah?
Yeah. I'll tell you where the Mishnah is in a second if I could just sift through all these Sfarim and find the one that I'm looking for. Okay. I probably left it in the Beis Medrash, that's why I'm not finding it. Does anybody have a Zvachim Pei Vav by any chance?
It's the third volume.
You can get it up.
It's unbelievable.
What's that, Kimon, over there? What does it say on the outside? Al, well, that's not going to help me. I need Hey, which I have, but I'm not fine.
What parak would it be?
That's my thinking. I think it's a parak called Kodshei Kodshim. I'm sorry. Kodshei Kodshim is the previous parak, right?
So what
parak are you up to? You're on eight. You're an eight. Parak eight.
Yeah.
Parak eight.
No. Parak test.
Oh, parak nine. Wow. So the ninth parak, we're up to Hamizbech Mekadesh. Where does it start? Like on Daf Pei Beis or something like that? Where does the parak start? Hamizbech Mekadesh.
Pei Gimel.
And what's the subject of this parak? Which means what?
Sanctifying
you. Sanctifying what?
Things that are put there.
No, but what? I mean, everything's sanctified. Anything that got to the Mizbeach is sanctified. Why do I need the Mizbeach to sanctify?
Things which are puzzled.
Exactly. We're talking about Psalm. The whole parak, I didn't know it was the ninth parak, is dedicated to this topic.
I think there's only one Mishnah.
Is there a mission on pay Vav?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Actually, so again, you may have a different. Every set of Mishnayos is different. Yeah. But in the Talmud Bavli, you know, Hotzas Vilna, the Vilna Shas, we're up to the second parak. In yours, it might be the first parak. Anyway, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is second Mishnah. We're up to the second Mishnah. That's what I meant to say. But in yours, it might be all in one Mishnah.
No, it's not. It's broken up.
All right. So if you take a look at the second Mishnah again, so what's the subject of this parak? Hamizbech Mekadesh. There's what's called Psule Hamizbech, right? Karbonos Psulim, like for example Yotze or Tame or what's called Lina, you know, Lina. So in all these cases, the Mizbeach is Mekadesh. That means if you put on top of the Mizbeach these psulim, then magically the Mizbeach is Mekadesh, and we go ahead and we maktir it on the Mizbeach. Normally, we're not maktir something that's possible, but in certain categories, which is what the Perek is all about, certain cases of psulim, the Mizbeach has a power to be Mekadesh, such that im olu lo yeridu, it's otherwise known as, which means that once it's on the Mizbeach, there's Akhtar on the Mizbeach. So here's the question that the Gemara is going to address on Daf Pei Vav, and it starts with the Mishnah. Does this halach of Mizbeach Mekadesh, in the case of Psulim, extend to include even the Kevesh? And what does the Mishnah say, John? Can you read it to us, the part that's relevant to us?
Kishem,
you have something called Kishem? But you have to read it louder.
Kishem Shamizbeach Mekadesh Saroilo Kacha Kevesh Mekadesh.
Very good. Unbelievable. Kishem Mizbeach Kach Kevesh. So again, Rabosai, we're not talking about Akhtar yet. You know, that far we haven't gone. We're not saying that the Mizbeach is a place for Akhtar Asakarvon. But what we are saying is that there's going to be kiddush like the Mizbeach. So we're giving a certain, I call it a quasi-status, an extended status of Mizbeach to the Kevesh. So what happens, for example, he's got a behema, he's got kochim tmein, or yotze, or lino, or whatever it might be. We'll see that nosim pigla, I don't want to get involved in that. That's tremendous machlokas tanoim. But in these cases, he brought them onto the Kevesh. What happens now? He's going to bring him on to the Mizbeach.
Technically, you never get to the point where the Mizbeach can be Mekadesh anything because everything was already Kadesh for the time he got onto the Kevesh.
Well, he doesn't have to go up to the Mizbeach on the Kevesh. You know, he can take a ladder and get up to the Mizbeach. He can pick a helicopter. But it's a Pella that from the minute that he arrives on the Kevesh with Psulei HaMukdashim, again, I don't know about a Balmum, but let's say Tomei and a Yotzei, at that moment, the Kevesh is Mekadesh the Psulim, and now he's going to be Makter on the Mizbeach. We're going to apply the principle of Im'olu lo Yerdu, which intuitively we would have limited to Im'olu al Gabi Mizbeach, to Im'olu al Gabi HaKevesh. And that's what he says over here. So I'm going to write V'yesh lo Hochia. Get it? He says V'ein lo Hochia. But I just want to know the Hava mean. Right? And then we'll go back to the Maskon of V'ein lo Hochia. But Yesh lo Hochia Mizeh, the Kevesh u Mokom Akhtara. Sharele inin kiddush psulim isa hasam the af kli shares mekadshim. Oh, this is already his shlugger, right? So let's just go through his havamina, and then we're going to reject this havamina. He says the following. Maybe you'll tell me that I have a proof from a Mishnah that the Kevish is called the Makom HaKetora, because the Mishnah establishes that the Kevish is Makadesh. Kishem Shamizbeach Makadesh, meaning Psulim. So too, the Kevish is Makadesh Psulim. So you might come to the conclusion, he says, and argue that you could be Makdir Karbon on the Kevish. Because it wouldn't make any sense to say that the Kevish is Makadesh unless he's saying it's a Makom HaKetora. I mean, what defines the unique status of a Mizbeach? It's a Makom HaKetora. And because of that unique status, the Mizbeach could be Makadesh. This is what's called Lachmo Shel Mizbeach, meaning the Mizbeach now makes a quasi-kinyan, like it possesses these psulim. And you can't wrestle it out of the hands of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach grabs onto it. Now, why should the Kevish have the ability to grab onto it unless the Kevish is also a Lachmo Shel Kevish, Lachmo Shel Mizbeach? It also has Akhtara. That's the Havami. Says Rashi, you're wrong. There's no Akhtara on the Kevish. And the reason why, or the ability of the Kevish to be Makadesh Psulim, is not because the Kevish has the status of Mizbeach. I'll prove to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the power and the agency of being Makadesh Psulim is not limited to the Mizbeach and to a Makom HaKetora. Why? Because the Mishnah establishes that if you take Kodshim Psulim and you put it into a Kli Shareis, the Kli Shareis is Makadesh. And then we're going to take it and be Makdir on the Mizbeach. Where is the HaKetora? In the Kli Shareis? For sure not. So the Kli Shareis is only a medium of Kiddush of Psulim. And Kevesh is also a medium of Kiddush of Psulim. The Gemara is going to derive that status of Kevesh from Psukim. But it's only Allah in Kiddush of Psulim, like in Kli Shareis, is a limited Allah at the Kiddush Psulim, has nothing to do with Makom HaKetora. And then he quotes the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish vacillates back and forth. I kevesh kemizbeach gam le'inyan makom haketora. In other words, the Chazon Ish took this very, very seriously, and he suggested that maybe you could be makdir a karbon on the kevesh. Again, the Chazon Ish was never certain about this, but let's go according to that side in the Chazon Ish, that kevesh kemizbeach le'makom haketora. Then we come back to our sugya, the diuk, that halachas adam means adla kevish, but not on the kevish, because once you're on the kevish, you're already in the makom haketora. That's called halah, not halach. But in kachim, whenever you quote the Chazon Ish, you have to give due time to somebody else. Who's that? Right, the Brisker Rav. And very often, the Brisker Rav always took the Chazon Ish seriously. That was not a question, but very often the Brisker Rav had a different perspective on Kodshim. And this is one example. And the Brisker Rav wants to prove from two different sugyas that Kevesh is not a Makom HaKetora. So the first sugya is from Zvachim, from Masechta Zvachim. That's on Daf Pei Zayin Amid Beis. So since I can't find my Masechta Zvachim here, which I can't believe it, I must have left it on my... I know where I left it. I left it on my shtender. Not this shtender, but the shtender where I daven from. John, take a look. Before you walk all the way over there, you don't need a halacha here. Okay. Just look with your eyes and see if there's a Gemara open on my shtender. If it is, that's the one I need. Are you doing Daf Yomi, by the way?
Yes.
What daf are they up to? I'm so curious.
Ayin Dalet.
Ooh. That's a big sugi. Ayin Dalet. That's the famous sugi of Kol Deparsh Meruba Parsh. All of your idea hinges on that one sugi. So I hope you do it well. Thanks.
You did it already.
No, but you can review it. I mean, if it's today's daf, you still have another another 12 hours. Okay. So, Rav Osai, I'm going to try to see if I could present to you a sugya here on Pei Zayin Amid Beis. And this is a sugya, I think it's called Avir HaMizbeach, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just see if I'm right here. Oh yeah, Avir HaMizbeach. Iboilu, where is the suffix? Avir HaMizbeach ki Mizbeach tami, olo. Now, there's a halacha called im olu lo yerd, correct? That once these, like evarim, tmeim, or whatever the case is, these psulim, reach the mizbeach, then even though they're possible, you could be makir with them, and you have to be makir. What happens if it reaches the avir hamizbeach? So imagine that somebody, again, I don't know why they would do this, they throw a limb of a carbon that's possible over the airspace of the Mizbeach, and it lands on the other side of the Mizbeach. Very strong guy, right? It's like Moshe Rabbeinu with Makas, what was it called? Shchin? You remember that? I think it was Shchin. Whichever one it was, we threw it up.
The right hand of a coin.
So the Gemara wants to know what happens when the limbs that apostle reach the Avir HaMizbeach. So Gemara says the following, Iboilu, Avir HaMizbeach HaMizbeach Domi, Ola. In other words, do I take these limbs and put it back on the Mizbeach because they were in the airspace of the Mizbeach? And that's going to be Makadish or not? Toshma, the Gemara wants to be Poshet this Sofei, based on the Mishnah in the ninth parak, which again, the ninth parak is dedicated to this concept of Kiddush HaMizbeach on of Psulim. Kishem HaMizbeach Makadesh, Kach Kevesh Makadesh. In other words, if he brings the Avar Psulim on the Kevesh, that generates a mechanical process of Kiddush, and therefore he's going to have to put them on the Mizbeach and do the Haktar, even though they're Psulim, but it came on to the Kevesh. Is Avir Kevesh Nami Lav Ki Kevesh Tomi? Now the Gemara assumes that on that side that Avir Mizbeach is not considered Mizbeach, then Avir Kevesh should also not be considered Kevesh. And therefore the Gemara asks, Hechi Masik Levi Kevesh L'Mizbeach? How is it possible to take these Avarim that were carried up the Kevesh and put them on the Mizbeach if they Avarim Psulim? Would I like to bring Psulim on the Mizbeach? Havile Yorut. In other words, when he lifts up the Avarim, that's considered the Avir HaKevesh. And he lifts it up in his hands and he wants to bring it to the Mizbeach. If such a case is considered yarut, so I'll read to you the translation of the word yarut. He says, "Hareze ki'ilu yardu min hakevesh lekarka," and halacha is in yardu lo yalu. So how do we understand this mishnah on daf peivav that says that the kevesh has the din of a mizbeach as far as kiddush psulim is concerned? L'chor, it's always going to be avir. And if it's avir, then Allah would be in olu yardu. And yet the Mishnah says that once it already went up to the kevesh, we're going to take it on to the mizbeach. So let's leave this for a second, and let's go back to the nefesh tov. He says pirush. What do we get from this sugya? My nafkamina by medha kevesh mekadesh. The Gemara's kasha was, if you're holding that Avir HaMizbeach, and therefore Avir HaKevesh is Lav HaMizbeach Domi, Lav HaKevesh Domi, so the Gemara is asking, I don't understand, so what's this whole din of Kevesh HaMakadosh? Achakach Tzorech Lo Rimo Kedei Laktiro Al Gav HaMizbeach, since in any event he's going to have to lift up these limbs, we'll call it, right, Devarim, and he's going to have to bring them onto the Mizbeach to be Makarid, is Havi Kamoshe Yorah. And we have halacha here of kevin sheyardu yardu al kochenu diaf avir mekadesh. Okay, fine. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion based on kevesh that avir mizbeach ki mizbeach tami. Hiksha griz the e kevesh havi mokum lak torah. What are you telling me, that he's going to have to take the Eivarim up onto the Mizbeach? And then you're going to apply the principle of Yarad. Why does he have to take him onto the Mizbeach? He can be makter on the kevish itself, according to one side of the chazan. Ishal korchenu, the ena makadosh inyan shim olu lo yeredu, but lo avi mokam haktara. So the Brisker Rav points out that the very assumption here of this gemara, when it proves that kevish is makadosh, is only a theoretical, hypothetical concept, but it has no practical applications. And the gemara proves that based on the fact that of harei zeh Yarud, and why is it considered Yarud? Because he has to bring them onto the Mizbeach in order to be mala them on the Mizbeach. Why is that considered a necessary procedure? He doesn't have to bring the Eivarim up on top of the Mizbeach. I'm just going to read this again for my own sake. You don't have to pay attention to this. Kesad nitan lahalos in mizbeach as eivarim apsulim shenizkadshu al gabi hakevesh. Harei mishoshem adbiyim bi'avra kevesh kedei litnom ala mizbeach havi le'yorud. Harei ze ki'ilu yorudu min hakevesh l'karka. Shaminu li'el kishem shim olu lo yorudu kach im yorudu lo yal. Oh, I got it. So yorud means that there's a sugya on Daf Pei Dalid, which we didn't get to yet, but on Daf Pei Dalid, the sugya establishes that Kevan Shiyaradu Lo Yalu. And we're trying to establish that he's going to have to be makir on the Mizbeach. Now, once he lifts up the Eivarim as he's standing on the Kevesh, in order to bring them into the Mizbeach, that's already considered Yaradu. Why? Because Avir Kevesh, Lav Ki Kevesh Tom. So there's a contradiction here, says the Gemara. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. You can't maintain on the one hand that there's a din of kevesh makadesh, and on the other hand hold that avir kevesh lav ki kevesh tami.
Can I just understand the procedure? Did the Eivar actually touch the floor of the kevesh before he lifts it up?
I don't think so.
So then it's always in a status of raising the ear.
Right.
So it can't be yardu if it wasn't avir. So
right,
we did never get to the sedge here. If you tell me he dragged it on the kevesh floor, then lifted it to put it on
the sedge. He says, Mishoshim Magbiyim. So maybe Magbiyim means that it was on the floor of the kevesh. I don't know. I wish he would spell it out, but you probably have to go back to the mission itself on Daf Pei Vav and see if you can figure it out. Okay, so what did the Brisker Rav get out of this sugya? He doesn't understand. The very premise of the sugya is that every case of kevesh requires what's called hagbah. And Agbah means you lift it into the Avir. And why does the Gemara assume that you have to have a Agbah in the Avir, the Kevesh? Because you have to get the Evarim onto the Mizbeach. And once you have to lift it into the Avir, if you're holding Avir, Kevesh, Lavki, Kevesh, Nami, then that's already considered Yardu, meaning it was taken off the Mizbeach. Right, because you're saying that at one point it was on the kevesh, which is considered like a mizbeach, so there was a kiddush, and therefore we're going to say him olu lo yaradu. But then there's another halacha that says him yaradu lo yalu, and this is considered yaradu. So the Brisker Rav says, why is this considered yaradu? How do you know he's going to be magbia to bring it onto the mizbeach? He could burn it right there on the kevesh. That certainly is on the ground of the kevesh. The od, he says. Oh, he has another hochacha from the sugya in Menachas Nun Zayin that we saw before Rabbi Yochanan. All right, that we'll have to take up. So, if somebody could remind me that what's today? Today is Monday?
Tuesday.
So, if today is Tuesday, if somebody could remind me on Thursday, and if you could please move ahead in this siman, so we'll finish it up on Thursday. We're up to Od Hochiyah. Okay, then. So, wish everyone a great day.